3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Todd Furman, our guide Vegas, breaking down the lines at Todd Furman on Twitter. Todd, what's going on, man?
Same old exciting stuff, guys. Hoping for a couple exciting NBA playoff games. Of course, the NHL, my Rangers are playing extremely well. Excited about the prospect of a potential first Stanley Cup headed back to New York since 1994.
Why are we just now hearing your Rangers now that they're up 2-0 with two road wins?
You know what? I actually grew up a Ranger fan, and I won't claim that this team I have nearly the same attachment to as when I was younger before I got into this gambling business, which has sucked my soul little by little. But in 1994, I was bouncing off the walls when the Rangers beat Vancouver in the seventh game in the Cup Finals.
Well, so you're digging their chances against Montreal.
I think they're in pretty good shape right now, especially with Carey Price's injury. Montreal a little bit desperate, going to a rookie goaltender, and you're looking at the Rangers right now, a 1-8 shot to come out of the East. That series opened as a pick'em, and the Rangers have really been the dominant team for the better part of the first 120 minutes of the
series. Didn't you used to play hockey?
I was a goaltender back in the day. Never
played. Really short goaltender.
never played at the highest levels. Actually, a funny recruiting story, guys. I went to a number of schools on the East Coast. Was looking to play in the Ivy League. Got there. I was about a 5'10", 150 pounds, Blaine. Back when I went through my recruiting push, coaches kind of looked me up and down and said, "There's absolutely no way you'll be able to withstand the pounding of a Division I season." Ended up playing Division III and drank my way through college instead.
There you go.
I say short. You could take the pounding.
I say short because we're walking around with Pecorine around town all the time, and that guy's huge.
And they keep getting bigger and bigger, Brent, too. I mean, right now, a lot of these teams, unless you're that good at anything less than 6 feet, most NHL teams won't even consider drafting you as a franchise goalie.
That's what Mitch Korn always says. Find me big goaltenders, and it works. So you like Chicago still. They're up 1-0 in the Kings-Blackhawks series.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way the Hawks have really dominated L.A. I mean, the Kings have struggled historically with the Blackhawks. I believe they're 6-20 the last 26 meetings between these two teams. The Hawks have protected home ice. The one interesting part, though, when you look at the Blackhawks' history, I believe it's now 9 or 10 straight series where the Hawks have lost their first road game. So if L.A. can steal one today, and you can maybe pencil in a game 3 at Staples Center to the Kings, this series should probably go 6, but I think the Blackhawks clearly playing their best hockey this season at the right time.
All right, let's go back 4 years. Give me the odds at that point that Cleveland will win the lottery 3 out of 4 years.
Pretty high. The biggest question becomes is how many of those draft picks will they have wasted? Yeah. Kyrie Irving, clearly a franchise player. You look at Anthony Bennett. I'm not sure I'm ready to write him off as a bust, but he's got a long way to go. And the talk continues to be that they're strongly considering Joel Embiid. No idea why anyone who at the college level is dealing with a stress fracture in his back, the warning signs are there. But you look at the odds that offshore books have already posted. One makes Andrew Wiggins the overwhelming favorite at 2-3 to be the number one pick. But there are a couple books that have Joel Embiid listed as a short favorite for him to be headed to Cleveland as the number one overall pick.
At Todd Furman on Twitter. Todd joins us every Wednesday at 4:30.
Todd, the Heat win game 2, how much did that swing the series odds versus if the Pacers had won?
Miami was a $3.50 favorite, Clay. So as we go through, it cost you $3.50 to make $1 coming back. After them losing game one in a contest they were never really in, that price dropped all the way to -175. The Heat steal home court back by virtue of a lockdown-type fourth quarter, and you're looking at Miami now a slightly more aggressive favorite to win this series at -$4. Of course, this price ticked up a little bit earlier today from $3.60 out to $4 amid speculation that we won't know the status of Paul George until later in the week for Game 3.
OKC is playing against the Spurs. It looked like OKC had no hope in the way that Game 1 went. How much of a favorite are the Spurs to win that series, and what would going up 2-0 mean?
Spurs went from -$1.60 out to -$5 right now. So you've seen a pretty big move, which is unusual in the NBA, given that you expect teams to protect home court and books don't like to overreact. The Spurs were to win game 2, that price would balloon out to -650. However, you have seen some sharp money come in Oklahoma City for tonight. Number opened at 6, seeing 5.5 more or less the consensus, but some of the big boys out there have moved on Oklahoma City, taking that 3.5 for the first half. It was a little surprise Scott Brooks kept his starters out there as long as he did in game 1, considering how big a blowout that thing was with about 8 or 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
I don't think we've ever asked, but what's LeBron James worth as a point value? Let's say he suddenly wasn't playing in game 3 against the Pacers. How much difference would the line be?
Even with a talented supporting cast like LeBron has, the likes of Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, in a series like this, Miami, a 7-point favorite, for game 3, that number would be down to about 2.5, maybe even a little bit lower. During the regular season, when Wade and LeBron James are both out. You're talking about books making nearly a 7 to 7.5 point change on that number. LeBron on Cleveland, he was worth 8 points to that roster because there was nobody capable of stepping up, filling his shoes if he were to miss a game.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. Interesting stuff. At Todd Furman on Twitter if you have a specific question.
Yeah, Todd, since we're talking about LeBron, are there any odds, I guess, on where he may end up playing next year? Because he can become a free agent.
Yeah, there are not odds, but you figure if the NBA and you believe in these conspiracies, the fact they keep giving Cleveland number one picks may say that LeBron wants to go back there and try and win a championship for his hometown. It's going to be real interesting as we look at some of the big names that may change jerseys. I think the bigger domino to fall before we realize where LeBron will end up is Kevin Love. If he opts out of this contract and Minnesota does elect to trade him, whether it's to the Lakers or the Bulls, you're talking about teams with a little bit of salary cap. I don't think LeBron will obviously end up in Minnesota. I think Cleveland and the Lakers make the most sense. But if I'm LeBron, there's no way I'm trying to follow a future Hall of Famer in Kobe Bryant. I'd rather go somewhere and carve out my own legacy.
Well, we're talking about all the top sporting events, and naturally we think about the Masters, we think about golf. Tiger Woods, will Tiger Woods come back this golf season?
I think we'll see Tiger out there. He still is available for wagering for the U.S. Open, but I think anybody who's going to make that bet, make sure you get a refund if Tiger's not healthy enough to participate. I think maybe we see him back in the middle of summer, but don't rule out a return closer to the Ryder Cup later in the year. He just doesn't seem to have, I don't want to say not the fire, but his body a lot more broken down, and we've seen these lingering injuries continue to become bigger and bigger, and a golfer dealing with a bad back is never a good investment.
Well, the Vols lost in the SEC tournament in baseball. Who is favored to win the SEC baseball championship?
And you know what? No college baseball odds out there anywhere yet. You will have some once the field is announced, and especially as we get closer to the Super Regionals, when a lot of the offshore books, more so than the shops here in town, will hang numbers. But college baseball, one of those markets that you just don't have enough public money out there to try and offset the professionals. The odds makers would really be behind the eight ball if they were hanging numbers for whether conference tournaments, regular season games, and even the first couple rounds of the tournament.
Well, I know Haslam said that Johnny Mee won't be starting, or he's going to compete to start, I guess. Would there be a swing in points if he became announced the starter? A quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
You won't see a whole lot of adjusting yet until odds makers get a better feel for exactly what Johnny brings to the table. I have seen some numbers out at a couple offshore books. The over-under on games started by Johnny Manziel this year in Cleveland, the low end at 7.5 and the high end at 8.5. Personally, I think that number is a little bit aggressive. Brian Hoyer gave the team great chance to win every time he was out there. Defense very much improved, and they've tried to bring in a couple of weapons. I think Hoyer ends up, assuming he stays healthy, between 10 and 11 games, and Johnny spends the lion's share of time more so on the bench, maybe even comes in for a couple of gimmick formations to try and get him some reps.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, guys.
737-1045 is our number. You get Todd at Todd Furman on Twitter.